Hello, friends. Welcome to Lunchtime Conversations. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. And with me before is someone we've had in studio before, Michael Hall from Digital Graph Innovation and Technology. But today we're going to be talking with Michael about Juneteenth and the upcoming holiday and why this holiday is important to him personally. So, Michael, tell us about that.
My name is Michael Hall. Thank you for having me today, should I say. Just wanted to be very transparent about my, I guess, connection with Juneteenth and what the holiday means to me versus what the holiday has been perceived to be. And it's kind of a day of reflection where we reflect with our family, the opportunities that have been presented to us and the things that have happened since Juneteenth. So instead of using it as a day of, I guess, a reflection of oppression, we look at it as a day of liberation and the opportunities that have been garnished for our communities and how we should celebrate one another in that space.
So you talk about the fact that growing up, you watched your parents model what it means to carry your history with dignity, your father building with intention, your mother leading with compassion. Tell us a little bit about that.
My father has been awarded by the Pentagon and primarily put together a program with the Department of Defense where he specialized in recruiting Black engineers from HBCUs. So some of the efforts that have now been labeled by things like diversity, equity, and inclusion, we're not just labeling. These were actually groundbreaking opportunities that were presented. And as well as being presented, I actually got to see it work. It was just a way of life. I was taught to actually help other people get in places. I was taught to speak up for those that didn't have a voice. I was taught to be compassionate towards others. And this will kind of lead into my mother. My mother is a guidance counselor at a high school. And a lot of people might not think of the impact that makes, but those are some of your most transformative years of your life. And so by watching the way she worked and the way she worked with students, it taught me to have a deeper understanding because everybody has a different story. Everybody's going through something. And of course, some of the things that we go through in our teens are not going to be that big of a deal when you look at the grand scheme of life, but they can dictate and shape how somebody behaves for those next 10 to 15 years, which are some of your most transformative years. And so I just think looking at the work she did and the things she did, it just taught me to be a little bit more understanding, a little bit more open-minded, and also to listen, learning how to listen and not just talk to people, but to listen for, you know, understanding, but also solutions in a more soft push. Sometimes people don't need a problem solver. They just need someone to listen to them so they feel heard.
Well, you know, I think it is so interesting. I taught a class in San Diego at Southwestern College for recent immigrants. And one of the things that one of the people from Africa told me, and he had been an engineer actually in Africa, and we, of course, learning the language here, they can never take your education from you, right?
Correct.
And that is so important.
Yes. Whatever you learn is how you use it. The biggest thing is, though, what I feel I hope I'm a great example or I'm a great result for my parents is that the lessons I learned for them, I took them and I implemented them into the way I built my businesses, the way I build my business, and even how I look at data when I'm looking at continuous growth of the industries I invest into or the communities I invest into. There's definitely some emotional connection to everything, but it's definitely the data, the insights, and the impact that helps me make more calculated decisions.
I love that, and we're going to talk about that and your professional. I mean, I wanted to talk a little bit about George Washington Carver, a gentleman whose biography I've written. What are the takeaways and the lessons that George Washington Carver can help us understand that, you know, first of all, it wasn't normal to have education. It wasn't normal to have freedom. But for you personally, what life lessons did you take away from George Washington Carver?
More than one way to use a peanut. That would definitely be the starting point. I grew up in a, you know, I guess sometimes you grow up in things where they are considered or you are looked at as that's your norm. So my norm ever since I was 2 or 3 years old was visiting Tuskegee University, going to the museum, seeing my parents in college because my parents both, they were both in high school when they had me. But my life was built around doctors, engineers, all kind of engineers, specifically mechanicals and electrical engineers. So I grew up with an expectation that you are supposed to be this. And it wasn't like it was forced because I'm an artist and I end up going to college for fine arts with a focus in graphic design. But I just grew up around there's more than one way to do something. And it was, you know, it was exemplified with a man that used a peanut in over 300 ways. And as well as, like you said, with George Washington Carver, we also had Booker T. Washington. And there's so many schools that are named after Booker T. Washington, but most of them don't know the direct roots that he had with Tuskegee Institute is what I knew it as growing up. It wasn't the university yet. So some of these things were just my way of life, and I just thought it was normal until I realized, wow, most people don't know about HBCUs. Most people have never been to a college campus.
Well, and I'm going to have you. I'm going to ask you to. So HBCU stands for Historic Black.
Historical Black Colleges and Universities.
Right, and here's the thing that is so interesting. Of course, we know about the marching bands and the sports, but the fact is that this was a pathway in America 250. As we look, and whether you know wherever we are, and whatever nationality, whatever culture we come from. HBCU is so essential in the history of America and the doors it opened, correct?
Correct. And just the groundbreaking. I mean, even if you go to HBCUs, most people don't remember the original names of these being called normal universities, where it was just the aspect of even having access to education. So my parents actually met at a summer program in Brewton, Alabama that was called Southern Normal. So I
wow.
just had a different understanding of what education looked like. So I didn't realize it wasn't normal, but that was just the way I was raised.
So you told me that you do not take access for granted, and that Juneteenth is kind of important to you professionally because it keeps you honest about why I'm building. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, just because the rooms are there, the problem is what do you do once you get in the room? And the admiration that I think I had for my father from his business acumen is, once you get in the room, you have a choice. You're either silent and you learn, or you go in there to disrupt something and to improve something. So what we have, the little mantra between me and my dad is called approve or improve. So you
I love that. Say that one more time loudly so our listeners can incorporate. Go ahead, say it again. It is a mantra. Tell us again.
The mantra is approve or improve. If you do not have an approval of what's going on, which means you should be there learning and taking it in, you need to come up with a way to improve what you do not like. So it removes that mindset of just critiquing and just being upset or just not being satisfied with something. You are forced to dig in. You're forced to do research. You're forced to decide, well, this is how I'm going to improve this system. And as long as you can do that, you're constantly in a state of learning. But that's not a state of just complaining. So that's just the way I feel that's how access is. You can complain about the things you can't get into, but how do you show up? How do you present yourself?
Absolutely. And, you know, Juneteenth is celebration, is a presence with each other, with our family, with our community. And you talk about the people that deserve recognition on Juneteenth, your father, your mother, and who else would you add to that list as well?
Honestly, I would have to go. I hate to keep it so family-oriented, but my aunts and uncles, because my parents were 16 and 17 years old when they had me. So those became my secondary parents. And more than anything, both of my grandmothers. I remember telling my grandmother what age I was going to become a millionaire, and I kept that promise to her. I remember telling my other grandmother that the one thing I would never do is stop being an artist, and I've kept that promise to her. So I had grandparents that listened to my dreams and never discouraged them. And I don't think how some people don't understand how detrimental that could be, you know, to have a kid share their dream with you and you say, oh, that's not possible. You just need to do this. Or I don't know why you're trying to do that. You just need to do that. Nobody in my family ever said that to me. It was always like, okay, Michael, if you're going to do it, we want to see it.
Well, you know, Michael, it's a pleasure to have you on Radio St. Pete again. We look forward to having you more often on air. You're such an entrepreneur, an innovator, and a leader. And I want to mention that you also have volunteered with the Urban League and contributed to its mission of outreach and building community infrastructure. What's your call to action for our listeners as we approach Juneteenth and honor the legacy that has led to, a better recognition for the contributions of our African-American community?
Be comfortably uncomfortable. Do not sit there and take where you're at as a status of where you have to be. And I would say more than anything, there's nothing in innovation and tech that we shouldn't put our hands on, because that is going to be the next empowerment, or should I say almost the next detriment to enslavement, if we don't understand what's going on with the technology that is now sculpting and building our country.
Amen, Michael. And I want to say, how can people find out more? What's your website?
I would say the best one right now is going to be medium4.com, but more than anything, Tampa Bay Tech Week. Tampa Bay Tech Week is the big premise of where I'm putting most of my efforts into right now.
That is just wonderful. Listen, Michael, thank you so much for being on Radio St. Pete. We look forward to having you again and for also celebrating Juneteenth as both a professional, as a professional and personal achievement. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you very much.